We seek refuge in Allah from the accursed Satan. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Exalted, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Salam, hello and welcome to our audience all over the world to another edition of our program, Islamic Studies. This program is being broadcast to you by Sahar Universal Network from the holy city of Qom, from the Islamic Republic of Iran, and I'm your regular host on this program, Ijaz Hussain. The topic from last week was the belief, principles of belief, and we were looking at the principle of Tawheed, which we said was fundamental for all believers in Islam, especially for Muslims. And we were discussing, just as a brief recap of what we said last week from our expert, he said that, first of all, he quoted the Quranic verse Surah Ikhlas, and he mentioned from that to say God is one, that Qul Huwallahu Ahad. And this is something that is recited by all believers, and it was looking at the meaning of Allah. And we said it's one that who is worshipped, and especially Allah. And we also looked at the difference between Wahad and Ahad, that what is the difference in Arabic for the meaning of these two words. And we meant that Ahad was unique. In other words, that you can't visualize anything else apart from the Creator himself. In terms of his origin and essence. And the fact is that we also looked at the idea of different types of Tawheed as well, which would really meant in terms of a very nice analogy that was given by my expert, that if we look at a man, we look at different aspects of that man in terms of nationality, occupation, height, age, and so forth. And we look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala similarly in types of the being being one, but looking at different attributes and different aspects to the Creator himself. And of course, in terms of his essence, Tawheed in essence, we talked about the fact that he is a very unique being. There's no composition to him, there's no parts to him, there's nothing that we can even visualize, imagine, or say. Allah is something that is completely unique and beyond description. And my expert quoted some hadiths in that regard from Imam Ali alayhi salam that said that, you know, we are a creature that can only wonder about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his essence, but we can never comprehend him. So we are going to carry on with the theme of Tawheed, and we'll do that after a short break. So please stay with us. We'll be right back. Thank you. Welcome back, viewers. Thank you very much for staying with us. You're watching Islamic Studies, and I'm your host, Ijaz Hussain. There will be an email subtitled on the screen. Please use it if you would like to contribute to the program. I'd like to introduce my guest in the studio, and I have once again the pleasure, honor and pleasure of having Sheikh Murtazar Agha Mohammadi from the Holy Seminaries of Qom. But I do understand you come from the International Institute of Islamic Studies here in Qom. A very warm welcome to you, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadan wa ala al-Tahirin. Assalamu alaikum to you and to all brothers and sisters all around the world watching this program.
Sure. I apologize to viewers if I sound a little bit faster on these programs. The reason being that we have such short time on these programs and a lot to say. So, Sheikh, without further ado, we left from the point about talking about whether God needs creation or not, because of course God is a supreme being. He's all powerful, and we stopped at that point where we said that you mentioned the fact about his ability to create. Mm-hmm. It's not like the way, as you were quite rightly saying from your own experience, that we experiment, we have to do a lot of things, use time, so and so forth, to try and achieve a result. And sometimes we achieve and sometimes we don't achieve. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not like that. He says, kun fayakun, be and it is. And you mentioned the Holy Prophet, Prophet Jesus, son of Mary, peace be upon him, that, you know, his birth was completely miraculous. And God said even to Holy Mother Mary that you don't need any partner or anything like that. God just says, if Jesus has to come into being, he comes into being. So take us from there, that it leaves this important question in our mind, that what is the role of human beings in all this creation and all this, you know, as you say, this power that God manifests in terms of revealing himself, that he is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Thank you. First of all, I have to mention that according to Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the angel to Mary.
Yes, of course,
and
he did. Yes.
He told that I have come to give you
thank you for
Ruhullah.
That. Absolutely.
Yeah. About our topic, we're told that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the aspects of unity, divine unity, is Tawheed in actions. Allah means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need anyone in his actions.
Absolutely.
Now, your question now was that if it is so, why we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing things through causes?
Exactly.
In fact, we have to bear in mind that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is about to create the world in the best way for man to achieve perfection.
Perfection, of course. That's the ultimate goal, yes.
If it wasn't so, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't create causes, then everything must be done directly from Allah and by Allah's will.
Sure.
So you didn't see any cause here. Mm-hmm. You just ask Allah and Allah created that immediately. Mm. There was no change of causes. Mm. And so there was nothing unseen.
Sure.
You know, the importance of faith is to be while you don't see the unseen. يُؤْمَنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. You know,
yes,
this is very important
absolutely.
From a Quranic perspective. So you have to see the causes.
Mm.
You have to see the causes and to go deep into causes to reach to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is one aspect.
Sure.
And the other point here is that if it was so that Allah created everything through his will without any causes, so we could sit here, do nothing and ask Allah and Allah create. So human being became something lazy.
Mm.
But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to use these causes, to use different causes to achieve what we want, to struggle, and through this struggle we can achieve perfection. So to let us and to preach everything for us to struggle, لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَأَى, in order to reach to this goal that man struggle and reaches to perfection, there must be causes. So the system of the world needs causes. It doesn't mean that Allah needs causes in his actions. Otherwise, Allah, as he says, kun fayakun. Whenever Allah wishes something and wills something, Allah orders and that exists without any need.
Sheikh, that's very clear, very logical, but unfortunately, in the Muslim world, there are extremists in terms of this understanding of Tawheed, because of course they say that, you know, well, you know, God does all these things, he's all powerful, he's all knowing, he sees everything, does everything. It leads to that, unfortunately, that question, that of course, you know, the role of human being, you quite rightly pointed out that of course we are limited human beings, but God has given us some tools to work with, some means and virtues and attributes to work with to get to that perfection. But unfortunately, other Muslims don't have this kind of concept. They think that, well, you know, if I'm lying, for example, because of the dual nature that I have within me, that I'm capable of doing evil as well as doing good, they attribute even that aspect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What's wrong with that?
In fact, this question, first of all, it comes under the another aspect of Tawheed, which is Tawheed in action.
Yes.
Means that everything is done by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes, because this is what they're saying in the extremity, yes.
Yeah, so if it is, everything is done by Allah.
Because if I stand up, for example, or I'm healthy today, or I pray today, oh, Allah had some part in that.
Yeah.
But is that true?
Yeah. In fact, origination of this idea was somehow political.
Ah.
Yeah, it was at the time of Amavids.
Of course it was. Yeah. I was going to get to that.
And,
this was the Umayyads, yes.
They were looking for some kind of justification
for their evil actions.
For all evil actions they committed. Yeah, you know, even it was that strong at that time that when Umar ibn Sa'd,
yes,
he was asked that, why did you kill Imam al-Hussein?
Mm-hmm.
He said, this is something Allah wanted in the heaven, and I had no choice other than killing Hussein.
Well, you see, to that extent.
Yeah, he's of course, if we just punch a hole immediately into that argument, that's a complete lie. Because, yeah, of course, you have free will. Why did God give man free will? So link that free will to, you know, what Allah's actions are,
yeah,
please.
This problem is because they didn't understand the Tawheed in action in a proper way.
Yes.
Allah,
yes,
subhanahu wa ta'ala creates everything. This is right.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean that we don't have any free will.
Ah.
These are
This is the difference, isn't it?
These are together, yeah. The point is that, of course, this is a very accurate point.
Yes.
We have to, you know, alhamdulillah, through the school of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, we have understood the things,
yes,
in a very,
very
clear way.
Yeah. This is very clear, yes.
And it is that, you know, let me make this analogy.
Please.
It helps you to understand it,
please,
better.
Please.
Imagine that this hand doesn't work. This is my hand is in a person's hand is not working.
It's paralyzed.
Yeah, paralyzed.
Yes.
And they have invented a kind of device, some kind of tool. When you, connect that to this hand, this,
yes,
hand starts working.
Yes.
Okay. Through the energy coming from that flex tool, the, mm-hmm, hand starts working.
Sure.
Now through the hand, this person decides, for example, to pick up something.
Mm-hmm.
Now this picking up, this action, to whom it is ascribed? To that tool or to the hand?
Ah.
You see, device,
very
that
good,
tool,
very
it's
good
giving
analogy.
You energy.
Mm.
But after having energy, you are deciding to pick this up or to tear it, for example.
Yes, yes.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala,
yeah,
is giving us the energy. Because Allah is giving us the energy, we can ascribe the action to Allah.
Very good.
Or hand, or
excellent,
body, or mind, everything we have at our disposal is from Allah.
Yes.
Allah can stop us at any moment.
Yes.
As if you plug out that device, the hand stops
working.
It doesn't work anymore.
Very good.
So the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us energy.
Energy.
After He gives us the energy, it is we decide to do this action or not.
Absolutely.
So the free will is there. And this is the exact meaning of bihawlillah wa quwwatihi. You say bihawlillah, the energy is coming from Allah. The power is coming from Allah. But Allah is not standing. Aqumu, I stand. And I sit.
Yes.
So the action is being done by me, but the energy and the power and the ability is coming from Allah. Because this ability is coming from Allah, I can ascribe this action to Allah.
Yes. It's a way of acknowledgement, isn't it? It's a way of, in a sense, because this is what we see with our prayer, for example, it's a kind of tashakkur, it's a kind of thanks, that Allah gives us all this ability, this energy to make these choices, and hopefully good choices. But of course, you know, this is why Allah says that, you know, don't listen to your open enemy, don't listen to Satan, because you have this aspect as well. Okay, you can misuse this energy that you're being given for wrong purposes. And this is why, as you quite rightly said, this, unfortunately, this belief, this extremism in this Tawheed has come, as you say, from the political side, because as you said that, you know, these Umayyads were in power, and they used this way of an excuse to cover the evil action of what they really did, which was to kill the holy family of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him.
And there is a nice verse in Quran that, again, it clarifies this point. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet, وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. You didn't throw the stones, but Allah did it.
Yes, yes.
وَمَا رَمَيْتَ, you didn't throw, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. Allah رَمَى means Allah gave you the ability, the energy. And Allah says, وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَى. وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ, sorry. You didn't throw when you threw. Again, says you threw. You know, the second throw is proving that the Prophet threw the stones.
Stone.
But says Allah threw it. How come that it proves the throwing for the Rasulullah and for Allah at the same time? It means that Allah gave you energy, and without the permission, without the ability given to you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you couldn't do this action. Allah gave you ability and you decided to do this action. So this action can be ascribed to you and can be ascribed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Very nice, very nice. That's very beautiful. The thing is that leads now To another concept in as far as Tawheed is concerned, which is this one that you were describing about lordship or rububiyat, if I've said that correctly. What does that mean? How does that work? Because again, you know, this ascribing to the Holy, of course, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, has to be mentioned that as far as the school of Ahlul Bayt is concerned, we attribute or we say that the Holy Prophet is infallible. He cannot make mistakes. He's the perfect example for humanity. Therefore, such a description or an ascribing by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is appropriate in this context. But unfortunately, we have to go away for a short break, Sheikh. But I'll carry on with this this point, this question with you after the break. But viewers will be right back. Thank you. Please stay with us. Welcome back, viewers. You're watching Islamic Studies, and I'm your host, Ijaz Hussain. And we're discussing a very good discussion on this principle of belief, Tawheed. And I'm doing that with Sheikh Murtazar Agha Muhammadi from the Holy Seminaries of Qom. And sir, just before the break, I'm sorry about that interruption there, but we were getting to this point about lordship. And we were talking about the fact that there is certain context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala beautifully describes in the Quran that sometimes the actions, because these are all given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His Holy Prophet, that He can describe in those contexts, not for ordinary people because we are in a totally different category. But please describe this lordship idea in Tawheed. What does this really mean?
As you said, the concept of rububiyyah, this is mentioned in Surah Al-Hamd as well.
Right.
Alhamdulillah, yes, Rabbil Alameen.
That's right, yes, yeah. Yes.
Rab, it has two meaning. First of all, it is by nature, and second, it is legally. By nature, it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us and has His own attention to us. You know, some people may think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us and then He left us on the earth and He said, okay, live on yourself. This is not the way, you know.
That's true, actually. Many people do have that kind of belief. Yeah. They think they're just left to their own devices.
It is not like, for example, you know, when a person came and built this building and he went, maybe the person is dead, but the building is there.
Yes.
Okay? But creation is not like this. In order to make it understandable for the audience, I have to say that, again, it's a good question, that can a human being create or not? Can we create something or not?
Yes, I mean, this is a this is an idea that really one ponders upon. Yeah. Is this ability really there, or is this something illusionary?
As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, and everything that Allah wills is there, exists.
That's right, yes.
So if this is creation, that it needs kun fayakun, we can't create anything in this world. In this world, it is not to our will. We have to use our mind and what we have in this universe, what we have in this world as tools and as instruments to get something.
Yes.
But we can create in our minds. You know, in your mind, you can imagine, for example, one story building. You can imagine 100 story building without any problem, easily. Just your will, and it is there. How long the building is there in your mind? As long as you pay attention to it.
Yes.
The moment that you take your attention, it vanishes.
Yes, of course, the idea is gone.
Rububiyyah is like this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us, and any second, every second, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has His own attention to us. And through the mercy and attention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every cell of us are working together.
Of course they are.
You see, so understanding this makes you understand the verse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I am closer than you, to you, even than you.
Your jugular vein, yes, absolutely.
So
it shows, I think, beautifully, Sheikh, the love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for His creation. Yeah. I think that beautifully ascribes it, that even for a second He doesn't take his attention away from you. That's even more than what a parent does.
That's why, you know, in Surah Al-Hamd, you say, Alhamdulillah Rabbil
Alameen. Yes.
When you say, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, you're not addressing Allah. Mm. Allah is not present, you know. You're talking in absence, in fact. Allah is not there. You say, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen.
Ameen, yes.
But then you pay attention to the meaning of Rabb, which is Rabb with me, is not far from me. Allah is not absent.
No, he says then he's very near. Yes.
Then you change the way of speaking and you say, Iyyaka na'bud.
Yes.
Then you address Allah. Yes. Before that, you didn't addressing Allah.
No.
You were talking in absent and now you address because you say, if Allah is my Rabb, so Allah is with me. Yes. Why I'm talking in absent? Allah is there. Allah is in front of me and not in front of me, closer to me than my own self.
Yes.
So I have to address Allah and say, Iyyaka na'bud wa Iyyaka nasta'in.
Yes, very, very beautifully put there. I seek help only from you, Lord. Absolutely. Now, in terms of the other concept of Tawheed, is the Tawheed of worship. What do we mean by that?
Yeah. Tawheed in worship means that no one deserves to be worshipped other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Absolutely. Again, just for the reason you just mentioned a moment ago.
Yeah. Yes. The only one who deserves, the only one who is, in fact, suitable to be, because man needs to worship.
Yes.
Those who do not believe in God, when you look at their life, they may be worship, they may be admire. Mm. You know, because worship is a kind of admiring,
admirable
admiration.
Deity. Of course it is, yes.
Those who don't have God, they have something in their life to admire. Mm-hmm. Maybe very tiny, mean things.
Yes.
But worship is a kind of admiration that it comes to the perfect level of it and it changes into worshipping that as if you prostrate in front of the beauty of that existence, that perfection, and you see all that perfection. You can't help bowing and prostrating before it and it is ibadah and it is worship.
Sure.
So because Allah is the only perfect being, so Allah is the only one who deserves to be worshipped.
Well, to be just to clarify things, to be honest, this is the problem with man's history, that the real being that needed to be deserved all love and worship was unfortunately misunderstood by, you know, the Namruds and the Pharaohs of our time, who even considered themselves to be something that was worthy of worship by others. But of course, this was completely false, you know. It was just because of their ignorance and misunderstanding of where this earth and universe had come from. And this is why God, in his infinite mercy, sent us these 124,000 prophets to put us back on the right track. But it takes us to this point, and this is also very important, and again, a thing that's very misunderstood in the Muslim world. Again, because, as I said, because there's a kind of an extremism in this idea of la ilaha illallah, that there is nothing needs to be deserved worship more than Allah. We mustn't prostrate before anything except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this really comes from really what we are talking about from the Wahhabi Takfiri side. Unfortunately, because they have some extreme view of this. Clarify this for us, Sheikh, in terms of the fact that, you know, prophets are buried. They are in this earth. They have a special building to house them. We call it a shrine or sarcophagus in English. But tell us, the visiting of those places. I mean, we're even asked to go to the cemetery, even to visit our ancestors, those who have passed away, to remind ourselves of the truth of our existence. This is Amir al-Mu'mineen, I'm quoting from Imam Ali alayhi salam, that he says, visit those graves to remind yourself of the truth of where you're going to end up yourself. So tell us, Sheikh, what is the importance of those visitings of those shrines? And why the extremism? Why do they don't accept this by other Muslims who have a wrong idea or a wrong concept of what this means?
As you said, unfortunately, these are a minority among Muslims.
Of course.
Unfortunately, because of the power they have.
Yes, they have a lot of money, that's true.
They are trying to.
Yeah, this is what the Umayyads had in the beginning as well. This is very unfortunate, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They are trying to express, and in fact, this idea among Muslims and spread this. And unfortunately, that's many Muslims, because of shortage in understanding and
they ignorance, don't have enough, yes.
ignorance.
Yes.
They may accept these things. Mm. You know, visiting shrines, respect, you know, lots of Sunni brothers go and visit the shrine of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina. And this visiting is not worship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they
please,
say...
Please mention also, yeah. Sheikh, that because of shortage of time, yeah. about the dua aspect as well. Please combine those two things.
Yeah,
yes,
I can mention all them together. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, they, you know, they say it is like worshipping idols. They
That's
say,
right.
They yes. say at the time of ignorance, people used to worship idols, mm-hmm. and now you're worshipping these shrines.
Mm.
But we don't worship these shrines.
No, we don't.
No Muslim worships these shrines.
No, they don't.
We know that a very respected person is there. Mm-hmm. We're going to visit. We believe that people are alive in the life of purgatory. Mm. They are not vanished.
No.
Quran says that the life of purgatory exists more than 10 verses
this
are there.
This is the life in Barzakh,
yeah,
isn't
life
it?
In
yes,
purgatory,
of course
in Barzakh
it is.
There. Yes. So we are going to visit, and the benefit is for us. The spiritual advantage is there for us.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not worshipping idols. Those who worship idols, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, on the day of judgment, they address those who they have worshipped and say, Tallahi, in kunna lafi zalalin mubin, is nusavvikum barabbil alameen. We were in a manifest error.
Mm.
When we put you aside, beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala,
yes,
and we regarded you the same as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's right. This is the commitment
so
of shirk,
this
isn't
is
it?
Worshiping
yes.
idols. Mm-hmm. This is worshipping idols.
Idols, yes.
No Muslim has this view about the
no,
Prophet.
No,
no. No Muslim has this view about Amirul Mu'minin alayhi salam.
No, the thing is that, to clarify very quickly, because we don't have much time left, but the thing is in these seconds, it's very clear for Muslims and non-Muslims that we visit these shrines to add value to our prayers, to our, because these people are very near to God, and we are asking them to add value to our prayer, because we commit sins and we are there for our forgiveness in these places, aren't
in
we?
In fact, there are many advantages in this visiting.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, when you visit, when you go all this journey to visit them,
mm-hmm.
in fact, you know, it makes you it makes them as role models for you.
Sure.
So you have to try to follow their role
right.
model.
Sheikh, just in the last brief few seconds, this trusting in Allah, we are asked to trust Allah, aren't we? You know, tawakkulullah all the time. But please briefly mention, is this a way of making people lazy, or, you know, that, okay, my trust is in God? But there is a beautiful hadith, isn't there, that the Holy Prophet said that, you know, to one brother, that he was going to tie his camel,
mm-hmm.
and he said, I'm not going to tie it because I trust in God. No, the Prophet said, no, tie it first, then trust in God.
Yeah.
So from that, what do we gather from this trusting in Allah, the Tawheed and trust?
Again, this is one of the another aspect of Tawheed, which is Tawheed and trust, and it means to trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to know that you can't do anything if Allah doesn't want. You know, very easy things. We sometimes we don't think about it. Very easy things, like for example, speaking. No, very easy thing.
Sure.
Speaking is very easy.
Yeah.
But for speaking, first you need your tongue, vocal cords. You need your lungs. There must be air. There must be ability to do it. There must be no sickness in the, I don't know. Many conditions are needed just to speak.
Yes.
If one of these five prerequisites are not there, we are not able to speak. So we have our facilities, we have our tools in at our disposal. We use them, but we believe that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving us permission to use them, and He cannot stop us. So we trust in Allah, but we do our best that we can do. There is a difference between tawakkul and tawkil.
Right, but we'll have to leave that for another session, Sheikh. But I thank you very much indeed for your contribution today. I'm so sorry because, you know, time just escapes us. But thank you very much indeed, sir, for your valuable contribution on this subject of Tawheed. But thanks a lot. And it just leaves me to say very quickly, viewers, that thank you very much for watching today. I hope you enjoyed the discussion. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and mercy and blessings of Allah be upon you all. Thank you much, very much for watching today, and goodbye.